How many moms here today have bore seven or more children? Raise your hands. Seven or more children. Praise be to God. Yeah. The lady in our text also bore seven that we know of. There's seven listed. But you know what? We should give all moms a hand. Let's give all moms a hand today. Let me ask you, ladies, how many of those that, especially if you raise your hand for seven or more, but any moms, how many of you raise children with cloth diapers? Yes, yes. Some of us lived through that. Ringer washing machines. And my grandma, even before that, didn't have one of those even. How many moms today raised some or all of your children with no running water? Some of you have. That's right. I know some of you have. My mother did too. A lot of us with no running water in the house. That meant no indoor bathroom either. Hello? Our children don't get that. Moms that raise children with no running water get that. Did you know that at the time this great nation was founded and before, that the average household had 8 children? The average household had 8 kids. The middle of last century, actually we're in the 21st now, the middle of the 19th century, it started to shift downward to about 5 children average in America. Today, guess what it is? 2. Today it's a 2. I don't know why, that's just the way things have happened. Did you also know that there is a new book out, and I'm not promoting this book, I just happened to see it. I didn't read it, I just have heard excerpts from it. It's called All Joy, No Fun. And this book suggests that there is more pressure on parenting today than there was in the past. Because, this book suggests, that we are now trying to raise that perfectly well-rounded child. Perfect in every way. Enthusiastic in everything they do. An excellent student in all that they try to accomplish. Because we have this desire to raise perfect children, this book suggests that it is more difficult today to raise these 2 than it was for moms to raise their 6, 8, or 10 before. I'm not sure if that's true or not. It's just not easy being a mom. That's why I've written today the title that I have written. It's just not easy being a mom. I suspect if you ask some of these ladies, my mother included, some of you that are here today, that raise children with no throwaway diapers, perhaps no microwave, certainly no microwave, then they would probably wonder which was harder, which is harder. It's just not easy being a mom. How would you like to raise 6 or 8 children in a tent? Our mother today from Genesis 29 did that. How would you like to raise those 6 or 8 children with no car? We can't even comprehend that, can we? Some of the moms here today were raising their children with no car. Am I right? That's what I thought. No microwave. You say, how'd they warm the bottles? Well, guess what? They got creative. No throwaway diapers. They had diaper pails. Horror of horrors. I remember them well. It's just not easy being a mother, no matter what time of history you are a mother. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read about a mother in Genesis 29. I'm going to read a little bit about Leah in Genesis 29, then going to read just a little bit more about Leah in Genesis 30. I think that most of you probably know the story of Jacob and Esau, the twins. Remember them? The twins. Esau came out first, and so he was declared the oldest. And Jacob later on, at the bidding of his mother, swindled the older brother out of his birthright. You remember the story, I think. Most of you, don't you? Well, this story is about Jacob, who left in haste away from his elder brother Esau, who wanted to kill him for stealing his birthright. And so at his mother's bidding, Jacob went to Laban, his uncle's, across the desert to find for him a wife. And I think that you know the story. When Jacob got there, his eyes met Rachel. And oh, how he loved her. Immediately upon seeing her, he loved her, and he knew and he thanked God because he could see this is why he had come, for this woman, Rachel. You probably also know the story that he worked 7 years for Rachel. You probably also know this part of the story that dad-in-law, on the day of Jacob and Rachel's wedding, father-in-law Laban, I don't know how they pull this off, but slipped in Leah into the wedding ceremony. And lo and behold, they go to the marriage tent. Certainly there wasn't any street lamps or anything else to enlighten the place. And when Jacob wakes up in the morning, it is not Rachel he is married, but Leah. I don't understand completely the Hebrew culture to know how that happened, but it happened. And that's where we're going to pick it up, with Leah in Genesis 29, verse 31 through 35. Here's what the Bible says. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, that to me is an interesting statement in itself, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. He did in fact marry Leah first, questioned his father-in-law, why in the world have you tricked me this way? And a week later, he did in fact marry Rachel. So he had them both. He had to work 7 years for the first one. He thought it was Rachel, but it was Leah. Waited a week, married the second one, and had to work 7 more years. So we're in that 7 years time frame now. Leah begins to bear children, and Rachel, the loved, does not. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. Now bear in mind, every name in these days had significant meaning. Everyone, including Rachel and Leah's. But the Bible says, so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. That's what Reuben means. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again, the Bible says, and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, meaning I am unloved. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name was called Levi, meaning become attached to me. And she conceived and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, son number 4. Then she stopped bearing. If you read this biblical account, you might ascertain that Leah was not quite as pretty as Rachel. You might. Some translations say she had, the NIV specifically says she had weak eyes. I don't know what that means specifically, but some might suggest she wasn't quite as pretty as Rachel. We know from this story that as soon as Jacob laid eyes on Rachel, when he got there to that land, he loved Rachel. And there was just a whole lot of manipulation and a whole lot of swindling and going on in this Jacob's life. And well, he ends up with Leah as his first wife. And I have concluded, though, and you would also as you read through this story, that Leah may not have been quite as pretty. I'm sure she was a very pretty lady, but I'm sure maybe perhaps in Jacob's eyes not quite as pretty. There's one thing that I am certain of. She wasn't stupid. She knew very well she wasn't loved. She knew good and well her husband didn't love her. Oh, he was performing husbandly duties, and they were raising children. They were even having sons, which was the treasure of the time. But she knew she wasn't loved. Things did not turn out for Leah the way she had hoped. I don't know what Leah had for an expectation even when she was slipped in under the radar of Jacob into the marriage ceremony that night and into the marriage tent. I don't know what Leah was thinking. I don't know what she was thinking about her dad doing this or about Jacob. Certainly she knew the culture because her father told Jacob, we don't give the second daughters away first. We give the first one away first. So this is an automatic. And I don't know what Leah was thinking, but she was hurt because she wasn't loved. That I know. That I am certain. Life was hard for her. She raised her children as a roving shepherd's wife in a tent. It was hard. Days were difficult. No modern conveniences. And to top all that, she wasn't even loved. And she knew it. I think things didn't turn out quite like Leah would have liked. And I suppose if we would take a poll today, we could ask and you could conclude and say that things haven't always worked out for you either. Sometimes moms, dads, whatever. Sometimes things just don't work out the way we had planned, the way we had hoped. Would you agree that could be true? Sometimes it just don't work out the way we had hoped. We wouldn't have written the script that way. We would have written it a little differently. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, I fear that today women aren't loved either. Taken advantage of, perhaps, misused, perhaps, but not loved. I just want you to know that God loves you. Always has and always will. Sometimes, I suppose, children don't turn out the way moms want either. I suppose that, like Leah, when things just didn't turn out the way she planned, I suppose sometimes in your lives and ours, things just don't turn out the way we would have liked. God knows that too. God knows what you're going through. And I'm asking you this morning to trust Him, even with what you're going through. Sometimes, as in Job's wife case, remember the story of Job? Sometimes, as in Job's wife's case, the kids don't even live. I've stood at the casket of too many mothers already with very young children, weeping with that mother who's lost her little one. Sometimes they just don't turn out the way we like. Genesis 30, there's a couple more verses before I pull this all together. In Genesis 30, you've got to read the in-between. I knew we didn't have time for all this story, but Rachel and Leah both give their handmaids, their main lady, if you will, to Jacob also, and he begins to father children with them. Two more sons each. And Genesis 30, verse 17 says, "And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, 'God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband.'" That's, you have to read between where I read to see all that. And so she names her fifth son Issachar, meaning God has given me my wages. She wasn't getting any love from Jacob. Oh, she was getting some intimacy, but she wasn't getting the heart kind of love. And so now she named boy number five Issachar, saying, "God has given me my wages." Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulon. But even after bearing to Jacob six sons, and you can see later she bears a daughter to Jacob also, so I know she bore at least seven in their union. Even after she bore six sons, she was basically unloved by her husband. I would not say she was despised or anything in her husband's sight. She just wasn't loved. And she knew it. May I just insert this today for your consideration, friends? Husbands, we're going to talk about dads and husbands in June on Father's Day. But may I just challenge you, when I think of the Leahs of the world, husbands, love your wives. May I just encourage you that way? Sometimes, and here's what's Leah's case. Sometimes we try so hard to be loved. Sometimes we try so hard to be accepted. And it starts at a very little age today, a very young age. Our children in school are just trying to be accepted. And so oftentimes, boys and girls in school, they don't accept them. And Leah was just trying to be accepted. Sometimes we just try to be noticed. And Leah was just trying to be noticed in her husband's eyes. And if that's the way you feel today, friends, let me just say, God loves you, God notices you, and God cares for you. Even when it seems like nobody else does. Oh, there's many a mom today so proud and beaming about going to give birth. Just like Leah was. "I'm going to have a son." So proud and beaming. Only to bear six sons to Jacob and just never felt loved. I'm not condemning old Jake here, but, well, Leah just wasn't loved. And she knew it. Sometimes today, moms are beaming and proud and just going to welcome another baby only to be treated as second-class citizens by too much of society. I have heard the mother, and I have seen it firsthand. You're going to have another one? Didn't you have enough? Treated somehow as second-class citizen because they're going to have another baby. There are many a mother today longing to see what that child will turn out to be. Then only to be brokenhearted because, well, it just didn't turn out. Sometimes we just don't get to pick, do we? We just don't get to pick the way things turn out. Leah would have loved to have been loved. We've gotten here to the 21st century and we have all the power in the world. We even choose if we're going to keep the children or not. We got technology today that chooses what sex I want. No, I don't want no boys. We got that technology. We're choosing that even. We can put them in first-rate daycares and we can put them in first-rate schools and we can get them all the nicest things if whatever we can afford and we can run them here and we can run them there and we can get them involved and we can do this and we can do that. But brothers and sisters, friends, let me tell you, until our children know Jesus, they're still missing out on life. Until our children know Jesus, they're missing out on eternal life. And so we can give them all manner of stuff. But if we, moms, listen to me now, and I'm going to be speaking to dads too in a month. If we don't tell them about Jesus, we're missing out and they're missing out on eternity. Today, as much as ever in the history of humanity, we need godly mamas who will teach and train their children about Jesus. Did you know there are 20 million children being raised in single-parent homes in America today? Most of them by their mama. 20 million children. And today, as much and maybe more than ever, these precious little ones need to know about Jesus. And so whether you're a single mother today or a widowed or divorced mother or anything else, our children need to know about Jesus. When I think of this story of Leah, how she wanted to satisfy Jacob and his love for her. She just longed for him to be satisfied with her as his wife. Friends, no matter how hard we try in today's culture and society, we're not going to satisfy the world. We're only going to find satisfaction in Jesus. Amen? We are not going to find satisfaction in all the stuff of the world, the latest gadgetries or the newest tent. We will only find personal peace and satisfaction in Jesus. Let me close with this. It's not easy being a mom, is it, ladies? It's not easy. It doesn't matter what century you were brought up in or you're raising your children in. It's not easy. But it is a God-ordained role. It really is. Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, pretty quick little ones, a God-ordained role. Culture and society puts tremendous pressure on motherhood and dads too, but moms today especially, to be successful. And I'm not taking anything away from moms that want to be successful. But moms, First and foremost, we need to be successful at raising our children for Jesus. We still need God-loving, God-fearing mothers to fulfill their roles as mamas who love their children through thick and thin, who take their children and point them to the cross at Calvary and tell them about Jesus. We need them desperately today. We need mamas and dads too. But today's Mother's Day. We need mamas and grandmas and women today that will help raise and train our children about the ways of God. And instead of letting, don't let me get on your toes here, but let me say this, instead of letting TV do the training of our children, and culture and society do the training of our children, how about we let the Word of God do the training of our children? Our children need the Lord. You talk to teenagers today, they're hurting. I've talked to too many of them wanting to commit suicide. They got too many pressures on them. They got too much stuff in their agenda. It's too hard. They need mamas and daddies. They need the support system at home that tells them about Jesus. There's good news, and it's found in His book. And so instead of letting TV and MTV and everything else train our children and mold them into be the people and children of the world, it's time, brothers and sisters, I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just encouraging us. It's time for us to tell our children the good news, and His name is Jesus. The world doesn't care. The world isn't going to tell them about Jesus. We need mamas today and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and caregivers of these precious children. Caregivers to tell them about Jesus. That's enough. Praise team. Now let me just tell you this, brothers and sisters. I am so thankful for God's institution of mothers. Amen? You wouldn't be here without them, let's face it. You wouldn't be here today without your mother. I'm so thankful for motherhood. So thankful for my mama who raised 8 of us in lots of years with no running water, no indoor toilets. So thankful for the labor that mothers have gone through, the labors of prayer, the labors of raising us. And I know this because 2 years ago I shared with you on Mother's Day the hurt of a mother who had a mother who didn't love her, never did, and always told her, "I don't love you." I know that's the case in some cases too. But I want you to know this, friends, God loves you. God loves you so much He sent His Son to die on the cross at Calvary for you. Whether you're a man or woman today, boy or girl, God loves you. Can you grasp that? God loves you. Whether you were loved at home or not, God loves you. He loves you so much He sent His Son to die on the cross for you that we might live. But we've got to trust Him. We've got to trust Christ Jesus as Lord if we're going to live eternally. The Bible is real clear when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me." And Jesus said to Martha and Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." It's Jesus that gives us life. And so if you're here today, friends, and you haven't got that life in Jesus, I want to pray with you today. And if you're a parent here today, moms, we're talking about mothers today, but dads, grandpas, grandmas, caregivers, we got to tell our little ones about Jesus. We got to tell them about Jesus. He is the eternal hope. Nothing today will satisfy until we have met Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, friends, Jesus. Jesus. And if you want to pray this morning, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you want to kneel at the altar, you go ahead and do that. Friends, let's bow our heads today for closing prayer. And if I can encourage you any other way, may I encourage you, parents in general, moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, caregivers, whatever you are today, trust in the resurrected Jesus Christ as Lord and tell your children about Jesus. Father, thank you for moms. Thank you for the blessing of motherhood, even as hard as it is some days. My mother used to say often, and this too shall pass, and I suspect many a mom has, of the difficult days. I pray, Father, that you would continue to bless mothers and that they, along with their husband or parents or whatever else the situation is, would instill in their children a love of Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, today more than any time in my life, our children, our young people need Jesus. And I pray that we, their parents and grandpas and grandmas and pastors and teachers and friends and neighbors, would tell them there's good news and tell them about Jesus. And for those that aren't loved today, Father, I pray that they would know they are loved by you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, Father, I pray today that as moms go from this place, they go knowing they're loved. Knowing that they've got an important role, had an important role, and still do. Maybe now we're down to the praying years. Our children are all gone. And so we're going to pray. Maybe we're raising our kids, and so we're going to pray, and we're going to fashion them after the Bible, and we're going to tell them about Jesus. Whatever the years are, Lord, I pray that we go from this place today challenged to love you, to trust you, to walk with you, and tell our little ones about Jesus. Thank you for moms. Thank you for my mother. And women that have prayed for me for decades, and men too. Thank you for my wife and my daughters and daughter-in-law who are all moms. And thank you for every mom here and every woman here. Bless them, Lord. Draw them close. Help them to be that woman of God that you would have them to be. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Moms, ladies, we have a flower for you on your way out.